Describe your perfect date.
It's a tough one. I'd have to say April 25th, because it's not too hot, not too cold. All you need is a light jacket.
On this episode of The Commercial Break.
We didn't even go to the door. We're sitting in there in the car, like two nudniks, waiting for our teenage friends to come out, sneak out of the house.
The dark house.
Yeah, the dark house. I feel like there's something wrong with me. What am I doing? Why am I not going to the door? I don't know. And then they appear out of the darkness.
Right, in the mist. The rain, fog, mist.
Right. And then I got to get out. Yeah, exactly. It's cloudy. It's weird. It's rainy. It's windy. So then I get out of the car, you know, and Astrid's like, what do we do? And I'm like, get out of the car. Like, get out of the car. Let's say hello. I don't know. I'm meeting your boyfriend. I'm meeting my new boyfriend for the first time. What do you want me to do? Do I got to give him a hug, touch his balls? What do I do? How do we handle this? Is there a kiss at the end of the date? I'm concerned. Is my breath smell okay?
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
And kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is my dear friend and the co-host of this show, Chris DeJoy. Only best to you, Chris.
Best to you, Brian.
Best to you out there on the streaming and podcast audience. Thanks for joining us. Here we are. A lovely Tuesday afternoon.
It is lovely outside today.
On the precipice of the apocalypse.
Right.
And everything's going well. We won't think about that. We're here to give you a break from all of that jazz. What happened to my microphone? My damn kids. Is it my damn kids or is it my damn wife? What's that?
Does she get on the microphone in here?
Yeah, she was trying to help me out with a reel. And she wanted to do it one way and I wanted to do it the other. And I said, no, stand here. And she said, no, I'll stand there. And all she had to do in the reel was hit me with a shoe. And I kept telling her, hit me in the head with the shoe. And she's like, I'm not going to hit you in the head with the shoe. And I'm like, hit me in the head with the damn shoe. And she's like, I won't do that. First of all, the chancleta or the chancla in... Mm-hmm. Latin America is the shoe, which I didn't know. This goes all the way back to ancient times. Apparently, Aphrodite or somebody would throw a shoe at somebody. The chancla is like storied in Hispanic history lore. Every household has a story about the shoe being thrown at them. Throwing of the shoe, the hitting of the shoe, something. Like my dad had a brush, the Irish brush, like an Irish shoe shine brush, and he would hit us with that, which is a lot worse than a shoe.
Wow.
But, you know, you grew up in a certain time, you got smacked. That's what happened. If you were out of line, you got smacked. Or he'd like to pull the hair right behind my ear. That fucking hurt too.
Oh, the ear pull.
Anyway, I said, I have an idea for a reel. Why don't I talk about the chancleta? And then at the end of it, you take it out of my hand and you hit me. Because for now 60 reels, which is like 4 months or whatever, everybody has been saying, where's your wife? Like, we hear you talking about your wife, but where's your wife? Show her. Show her.
Produce.
Are you in captivity? Is she in captivity? That's right. Who's in captivity? And so I said, listen, this is an easy one. All you have to do is just say something and then show your hand hitting me. So she wouldn't hit me in the head. And then she wanted to move the furniture to do the thing. And I got fussy. I was like, don't move the furniture. Come over here. What are you doing? I just need your hand.
I can only picture this scene going on.
Yeah. I'm Irish. She's Venezuelan. We're two very fussy, extraordinarily hard-headed people. So when we get under each other's skin, we start really irritating each other. But it's a game. It's fun. We like it.
Yeah.
I think there's, you know, builds the sexual chemistry. And then we can't have sex because we have 17 children running around the house.
When do you get a chance to do that?
Never. No. It's worse than having a dog in the bed. Listen, a dog, I might be able to deal with that. I still don't like that, the idea that a dog would be looking at us. But children, that borders on, I don't know, some kind of illegal. I'm not sure what it is, but you don't do that.
No.
Not in my opinion, anyway. No. Like baby in the crib next to the bed. Got it. That's, you know, that's just, you do what you have to do. But anyway, so I went on my blind date, my boy blind date.
I'm so excited to hear about this. Yes.
Okay. First of all, let's say that someone says is in the chat saying they're wearing their TCB merch right now. You have to have won some kind of prize. You've caught TCB on time, on a live, in a stream with your merch on. That's a trifecta.
Thank you for that. Yes, the stars align.
I'd say your name, but I can't read that far. My glasses aren't that good. So I shared with you last week on Friday's episode or Thursday's stream that I was set up on a boy blind date with one of Astrid's friends has a husband. And Astrid made it a point to tell me.
You better get along.
I better get along.
Right.
Act correctly. Don't get out of line. I need you to really like this guy. You two have to get along. And I just felt really weird. She made it weird.
Right.
She made the whole thing weird. I didn't like it. And I said to her, guys, don't act like that. We're not fussy. We're not worried about, I mean, unless he's fussy, I'm not fussy. I get along with anybody. I'll just do it. So Saturday night rolls around. First of all, wasn't up here where we live. It was down in the city. So now I'm
irritated. One of the reasons I couldn't come up for it, because it's fun.
Yeah, no, I don't blame you.
It was Saturday night. Yeah. But then it turned out it was closer to where
Turns out it was next door to Chrissy's house. Anyway, and I failed to mention who it was on Friday that I was going to see. Sal Volcano from Impractical Jokers, who I had interviewed when you were out by myself. And we had a hell of a time. He was a really good guy.
Yeah, you... Is that the one you talked to for hours or no?
That was Nacho Redondo,
yes.
Who
okay.
is from NRDE, the Venezuelan podcast that's very popular. This is like super popular, so popular. They put out a reel and within 6 minutes, it's got like 50,000 likes.
I'm sure.
We put out a reel and within 6 minutes, no one has seen it. Not even us. We don't know where it went. Instagram goes, no thanks.
No, let me flag that for a minute.
Here, let me give you the sound that Instagram makes when we put on a reel. So my board has gone rogue. So Saturday night rolls around. I'm already a little bit irritated that we got to drive all the way down there. I'm the designated driver now. I've been designated as the designated driver, but that's okay because I'm not going to drink and whatever. So we go to their house to go meet these people.
Maybe that's what Astrid. It just dawned on me. Maybe she was thinking about your driving. That was where you needed to act right.
Well, no, she would have said that's yeah,
Mr.
She sent me this
ticket.
I just had to pay my super speeder.
Oh, God.
$250 fine. So I didn't get my license revoked. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Yeah, they revoke your fucking license.
They're serious.
If you don't pay them, extra money. Is that it?
Right.
Isn't that taxation without causation or some shit? I don't know. I already had to pay the fine. Why do I have to pay more money? I already paid like $900 for the first ticket. Now I got to pay an extra $250. And my insurance is certainly going to fuck me. I know that for a fact. So we get in the car, we go, and it had been raining all day long.
Yes.
But these people that we were going to pick up, they, the day before, not weather-related, had a power outage for like 20 hours. They were one of three people in the entire neighborhood that they live in that had no power for like 20 hours. And so I instantaneously thought to myself, bail. It's a reason to bail. So I go, Astrid, listen, if they can't get showered or dressed or she can't do her hair or something like that, the curling iron's not working, just tell, don't, no pressure.
No pressure. Yeah, yeah.
No pressure.
Okay.
I'll be happy to stay in my PJs and hang out here, right? And Astrid's like, no, we're going to go, Power comes back on Saturday morning. Saturday afternoon, power goes back out at their house.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, oh, yeah, no, I don't want to put them out. Don't. Yeah. Because now I'm feeling weird. I'm feeling all kind of stress about meeting some guy that I may or may not get along with and that I'm being forced to like. I feel like a prisoner in a friendship camp.
Right.
You know? Camp. I feel like I've joined a fraternity against my will. Uh-huh. I have to like everybody now. Mm-hmm. So we get ready and, you know, what do you wear to a comedy show? Am I impressing this guy or am I supposed to dress up for Sal or who exactly am I getting dressed for now? I'm all concerned. And we're going to the Symphony Hall. Comedy at the Symphony Hall makes getting dressed very difficult because you feel like you're going somewhere important.
That's true.
But you're going to see Sal Volcano. And no offense to Sal Volcano, he's on Impractical Jokers. The guy is not, you know. He's not, I don't know. We're not going to see Tchaikovsky.
Yeah, it's not a dressy super dressy.
Tchaikovsky. Tchaikovsky. Tchaikovsky.
That was his brother.
Yeah. So we get to the house. pitch black at their house. Poor people. They come out of the darkness. Like, the garage is open, but you can't see in it. And now we're we're sitting in their driveway. And Astrid, he's got a name. But this name, I think I am saying it correctly. I'm not going to say the name because I don't know if he wants mm-hmm. to be on the show. But I think I'm saying it correctly. But it's a Spanish name. And she keeps on repeating it to me. And I think I'm hearing it the same way. Like, I'm going to give you an example of a name, okay. right? This is an example of a name, not his name, but an example. Jose. Mm-hmm. Jose. 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 We're in the car doing this fucking Laurel and Hardy routine. And I'm saying it correct. I don't know any other way to say it. So, and then I'm like, we're sitting in the driveway and I'm like, do we get out? And she's like, they don't have power, Brian. Do you think they want us to come in their house when they don't have power? And I go, well, that's a pretty keen observation, but I don't know. Should we go in their house?
You could have come to the door.
We didn't even go to the door. We're sitting in there in the car, like two nudniks, waiting for our teenage friends to come out, sneak out of the house.
The dark house.
Yeah, the dark house. I feel like there's something wrong with me. What am I doing? Why am I not going to the door? I don't know. And then they appear out of the darkness.
Right, in the mist, the rain, fog, mist.
Right, and then I got to get out. Yeah, exactly. It's cloudy, it's weird, it's rainy, it's windy. So then I get out of the car, and Astrid's like, what do we do? And I'm like, get out of the car. Like, get out of the car. Let's say hello. I don't know. I'm meeting your boyfriend. I'm meeting my new boyfriend for the first time. What do you want me to do? Do I got to give him a hug, touch his balls? What do I do? How do we handle this? Is there a kiss at the end of the date? I'm concerned. Is my breath smell okay? I get out of the car, and I say, hey, Jose, nice to meet you. And he starts laughing instantaneously. He's like, what did you call me? And I'm like, Jose. He goes, it's okay, man. People say it all different ways in the United States. Meanwhile, Jose. Yeah, Astrid's like
you're clearing your
the
throat.
Accent's on the J. And I'm like, the accent's on the J. The J is silent. What are you talking about? The accent's on the J. Stop it. Stop fucking around. You're just messing with me now. So they get in the back of the car. And honestly, the guy could not have been nicer. Like, I think the fact that I was driving and he was behind me and he didn't have to look at my face and I didn't have to look at his took the stress off a little
bit. That's true. Yeah. You're not face to face at like a dinner.
Yeah.
Across from each other.
I have social anxiety just like everybody else does. And I don't like talking to people and staring them in the eye when I don't know them, right? It's something hard for me to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, I do it, but I'm forcing myself to do it. I'm screaming for help inside of my head, but I do it. But when I get into an Uber, I'm only looking at the back of the guy's head. So I don't care. I'll talk to him, you know, because I'm looking at the back of his head. I don't care. I can be weird and I don't have to worry about it. So I felt like that, like, it desensitized the whole situation. So now, of course, we have
a soft intro.
Yeah, I'm sliding in. I'm easing my way in. Just the tip.
Yeah, just the tip. Start slow.
Yeah, now we have a 4-hour drive down to, downtown right. Atlanta from where we live. So that's good.
Were you playing music or anything? I'm kind of curious as to like, or was it just light banter?
No, I actually had like SiriusXM on a news station.
Oh.
And I don't know. Like, I don't know. So I immediately I'm scrambling to like turn off all the images on, because it shows you which channel you're listening to. And it says, liberal. Fucking hippie. That's what it says, basically.
Yeah.
But yeah, I switch around. I don't just listen to that station,
right.
But it happened to be on. I didn't even have the volume up, but then I noticed as soon as he sits down in the car, I noticed that this like big picture of this image of this particular channel is up there. And I'm like, fuck, I'm dead. And so now I'm like smashing things on the stereo. I'm like, ah. And one of the buttons is broken. So I'm like, ah, covering it with my hand while I'm trying to turn it off. So then, because of one of the buttons is broken, it says that I need an oil change, check the tire pressure, and service is due on my car. But none of those things are true. But the service guy can't fix it because the button he needs to press is broken.
Oh, my God.
We gave the
so
car
you're
to...
hoping he doesn't see that.
Yeah,
that
right.
They don't see that, like, your car's about to fall apart.
Yeah. How could you ignore it? It's just flashing at you. And it's making a noise
need
every...
Service. Yeah,
bing!
Need service. Yeah.
Engine dying. So So, Jose, where do you get your oil changed? My last guy retired in 2002, and I haven't found a new one yet. I had a guy I liked. I just haven't found the right one yet. Don't mind that tire fell off. Right. I'm pretty sure it's still on there.
It's okay. Yeah. There's just a button broken.
You could cruise with three, right? Ignore the sparks.
As you slide into the symphony hall.
Like, yeah, as I'm just like grinding into the symphony hall. So we drive down there, you know, light conversation, having fun, you know, laughing and joking. Thank God they don't like, you know, talk about the fucking podcast, you know, which a lot of people like to do, yes, right? A lot of people like to talk about the podcast. Mm-hmm. And that's the worst thing you could do to me at the first time you meet me is talk about the podcast, because it also automatically shuts me down. Give me an hour. Like, let's have some normal conversation and then we can talk about the podcast. But I talk about the podcast a lot in my everyday life. And it's just like when I meet new people, it's a chance to like not talk about the podcast.
Yes.
So anyway, so I appreciated it. And I liked him. I thought he was really nice. He's actually a very cool guy. He was funny. He was interesting. There was no slowdown in conversation. This was a blind date. And it went just fine. The conversation popped along. We had mutual interests. I found him attractive. You know,
ticking all the boxes.
Ticking all the boxes. So we get down there, we park, we walk over, and we had emailed Sal's tour manager, mm-hmm. who was also the opening comic. So I guess Sal takes him along, and then the tour manager also either has aspirations to be a stand-up comic, and Sal is giving him the incredible opportunity to cut his teeth in front of, you know, 2,000 people at a time, or he's a comic and he doubles as the tour manager. Whatever it is, the guy could not have been nicer. I mean, he just could not have been. Cheers all round to Sal Volcano's team, because they were incredible.
That's always nice. There's not people that are assholes that you're dealing with.
Yeah, I'd appreciate that people aren't assholes when I'm dealing with them. You know what I'm saying? But let me say this. When we have interviewed people, and we've interviewed a lot of people, there are often times where we will, after the show or during the show sometimes, people will make overtures that we should come see them, get in contact. If we don't often do that, I don't pull that card too much, mainly because I have kids and I don't want them running around for no reason. And then I can't make it for some reason. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you have things that you do too. It's like we can't make it to every single show from every comedian that comes on the show. That's all we'd be doing all week long is just seeing comedians. But Sal was extra gracious. And when I interviewed him, he like insisted, come to the show, come backstage, like come say hi, the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
You imagine in your head that these people forget about you the instant that they get off air.
Of course.
Right? They must. He's doing 12. He goes into Theo Vaughn after he does me. Who do you think he's thinking about? Brian Greene or Theo Vaughn? You know, Rogan or Brian, you know, Letterman or Brian. I don't know. It's like, of course he's not thinking about me, and I don't expect that he would. But we get there, and the guy says, well, I'll leave some tickets for you at the box office. We get to the box office, and I got a fucking flex. And here's the flex. We're all go up to the box office together. Me, my blind date, and my wife and her friend. So we're all up at the box office together, and I go, hey, I was told to come to the box office. Tickets for somebody left something for Brian Greene. And she's got it like right there in front of her.
Uh-huh.
And she goes, yes, Mr. Greene, the tour manager told me that you'd be coming by. There are tickets. There are also passes. When the show is over, please stay in your seat. The tour manager would like to come get you. And I was like,
you are impressing
fucking flex.
Some people right
fucking
now.
Flex. Right. And turns out my new boyfriend, you know, and don't worry, Starbucks boyfriend, right. Lance. This is not, I'm not taking you
There's
away.
There's no competition.
There's no competition because that other guy's too busy to have coffee with us every morning at 10 o'clock in the morning. So don't worry, we got it. So now we've got these passes and we've got these tickets. Tickets are fucking fantastic. Center, 4 or 5 rows back, done deal.
The band tickets.
The band tickets, right? Not first row, because those are expensive seats. You got to sell those. Mm-hmm. And no one really wants to sit in the first row at a comedy show anyway. You don't want a podcaster in the first row. And I realize this. If you'll notice, Ari Shaffir, Tom Pop, all these comics that we've gone and seen, we don't get first row tickets. I think not because they wouldn't like to give us first or second row tickets, but because it could be the worst possible thing in the world to have a chatty fucking podcaster get involved in your crowd work.
Yeah, that's
Do you know what
true.
I'm saying?
Yes,
Who's
sure.
going to out-joke who? Because mm-hmm. Mr. Comedy Podcaster over there with 900 episodes,
right.
898 of which aren't funny, thinks he's going to take my show. I get it. Yeah. I would make the same move also. Don't give them the really good tickets. Give them the pretty good tickets. But Sal gave us really good tickets, just not like front row tickets. But anyway, so we're there.
No, you want to be a little back anyways. Yeah.
I do. I don't want to sit right.
Right.
I don't want to be right there. Like, yeah. I don't want to be involved in the crowd work, quite frankly. Show starts. Tour manager comes on. We don't know this at the time. He's the tour manager.
He's the guy, yeah.
But he comes on, does some crowd work, hypes the crowd up. Here's the funniest thing in the world. This is a little secret. There's a guy backstage, right? You know.
You get the megaphone out for this.
I get the megaphone out. Let me make sure that it's not too loud because right. my children fucking play with
they
it.
They love that thing.
Hey, Atlanta. It's a Saturday night and you're here to see Sal Volcano. How you feeling? You know, people are like, woo.
Yeah,
you
yeah. know.
No pictures or flash photography. Please put your phones away. You're not allowed to take any photographs. If we see you taking a photograph, we may have to ask you to leave. Are you ready, Atlanta?
You know, voice of God. Headless, faceless, no one there, right?
Okay.
Okay.
It's just a voice.
This announcement is like 10 minutes before,
mm-hmm.
5 minutes before, lights go down.
Atlanta, it's time. Are you ready to see Sal Volcano?
Everyone's like, ah!
Yeah, the big buildup.
Big buildup, right?
Ladies and gentlemen, your MC for the night. You know, I
can't remember his name. Let's call him Mike.
Mike Washell.
Mike comes out, and I go to Astrid. I go, this is going to be the same voice that was just the guy announcing. And guess what? He goes up to the microphone.
Hey,
it's the same voice.
Okay.
It's
okay.
The same guy. The poor bastard had to introduce himself like that. But I knew it because, yes. of course, that's the way that shit works,
yeah,
right?
You double up.
You're not going to pay someone just to stand
well,
there and
right.
hype you up.
Yeah.
You got your tour manager / opening comedian. Anyway, he does 5-7 minutes. It's good. He does a great job. He gets the crowd a little warmed up. And then a second comedian comes on. I'm going to take the time to find his name. We're going to take a short break because we go long on these
we
lives.
We do. I know. We get into it.
I know. Chrissy's like, I want to go home.
No, I just got here.
I'm kidding. I know. She's like, can we do more than 3 minutes of content? All right, we'll take a break and we'll come back at 2 and 2.
Okay, you're probably wondering why I, Rachel, have taken over the voice duties at TCB. It's pretty simple. Astrid asked me to shut Brian up, even for a minute. Well, lovely Astrid, your wish is my command. Do you want to help Astrid too? You know you do. Leave a message for her, or me, or Chrissy at 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. You can be on the show too. Mm-hmm. Just call and say something. Anything. Or text us and we'll text you right back. Promise. Then head over to tcbpodcast.com and get your free sticker. It's your constitutional right to a sticker and we must abide. You get the point. Follow us on Instagram at The Commercial Break and watch all the episodes on video at youtube.com/The Commercial Break. Best to you and Astrid, especially Astrid.
All right, Chris Johnston is the guy who opened up, the tour manager / MC.
Okay. Announcer.
First guy, yeah. He was good.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mike Fenoya came on
Mike
next.
Fenoya.
Mike Fenoya. And let me tell you something. Did 15, 20 minutes. He fucking murdered it, Chrissy. I laughed so hard. I mean, so hard. I can't remember laughing this hard at the live show.
I want to look him up now.
You have to look him up. Mm-hmm. He was so good. Weird looking dude. He said that at Thanksgiving, his little nephew said, "You have a baby's face on an old head." And it's true. That's a perfect description of him. Perfect description.
At least he has a baby face.
He said, what's that?
At least he has a baby face.
At least he has a baby face. I don't want to do his jokes because it's really funny if you go see him. But one of the jokes he told is, he goes, I'm not into politics. I hate politics. It drives us crazy. We're all divided. And he goes, but I met a kid the other day, and trust me, this was not an anti-Trump roast whatsoever, but he said, I was in the Jersey Turnpike, and I went to go take a piss, and he goes, and some kid, like, you know, knocked into me. And he goes, and this kid was probably 250 pounds, 6 years old, wearing Trump gear from head to toe. He's like, if Cartman was a human being, this would have been the kid. Him. He goes, I've never hated someone so much in my life. But the way he described it, it was just like, this guy is good. You got to go look him up. All right. So he kills. Crowd goes crazy. Then, you know, Sal Volcano. Now, I'm just going to be honest here. I'm going to be honest about being honest. Sal has been a stand-up comedian since before Impractical Jokers. He was doing improv and stand-up comedy long before Impractical Jokers, which has just been on for about a decade.
And where is he from?
He's from Jersey.
From Jersey, yeah. Okay.
You don't know what to expect from a guy that's on television that is doing stand-up. And when I talked to him and we had that conversation, he made it clear that stand-up was his passion. Mm-hmm. I also know because I've seen him on the podcast circuit and respected podcasters. I say respected and large podcasters have had him on. Mm-hmm. Like Theo Von sat down with him for 2 or 3 hours. I think he's been on Rogan one time before. Anyway, so these people don't have like, you know, no-name comics on there. And he does have clout because of Impractical Jokers, but I didn't know what to expect.
Right.
I didn't know what to expect.
But sometimes that's the best way. Just go Agreed. In low expectations.
Right. I had watched a little bit of a thing or two he had on YouTube because he was coming in. Some of it was funny, you know, but did it make me roll on the floor? No, it didn't. But he has this brand new set that he's touring with, and he came on, and the first 5 minutes was kind of like, okay, he did some crowd work. It's kind of hit or miss. And then he got into the act. And I thought maybe this was going to be like an Impractical Jokers cuck.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, this is what we're going to talk about the whole time. He did not mention Impractical Jokers maybe twice in the entire set. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't to talk about some big, long story about Impractical Jokers, just to mention, you know, from the show, you know, from Impractical mm-hmm. Jokers. He fucking murdered it for about an hour and 15 minutes. He was so fucking sharp and funny. And observational. He talked about his anxieties and his pregnancy with his wife. He told the story about how his wife had post-eclampsia, like a really serious condition.
Oh, God.
So he, at the end of the set, I'm not going to spoil his set. Go see him. But at the end of the set, he tells this like 3-minute buildup. And everyone's like, oh. And then there is a punchline, Chrissy, that almost made me piss myself. Because we're all about to cry for his wife.
Right.
And then he goes and then he turns it into a joke, and it was brilliantly crafted. The build up, the lead up, like mic drop moment. Brilliantly
I love it
crafted.
When people can do that, turn something yes, that sounds along, terrible. Into
absolutely.
It, yeah.
He did it. He did it. And he kept doing that to us. He kept like going in serious, heartfelt, blah, blah, blah. You feel for him, and then he kills with the punchline. The guy was good.
Nice.
Show's over. Oh, by the way, I'd been sitting we were sitting in the middle. And a whole stack of people mm-hmm. came right next to me, right? When we were like, you know, the symphony has about 30 seats across.
Yes.
So when you got to get out, you got to ask the entire row. You got to bother the entire fucking row.
Yeah, I know. I hate doing
that. It's
terrible.
I hate it.
It's I know.
That's like, for me, that's hell on earth, right? To then, on an airplane, anywhere. Like, hey, I'm sorry. My little bladder can't handle the next. I know we're about to land. But my prostate is the size of a softball. I got to go again. So I held it. But in walks this row of people. So we all had to stand up and let them through. And it was 8 African-American people. Mm-hmm. Guy that sits next to me has got a beard. He's a sharp-looking, sharp-dressed guy. Before the show starts, he takes out a nail file. And he starts filing his nails at the show.
Interesting.
And I'm like, I'm not sure I love this. You know, I'm not sure I love what's going on here. I don't want to be like sucking in your nail dust. You know what I'm saying?
Sure, no. Yeah,
but okay, you feel like your nails are long. I hate that feeling too. I mean.
But at the show.
At the show? I don't know. But he's sitting cross.
Maybe he tore his nail.
Maybe.
That's happened.
Hey, listen, I'm trying not to be judgmental. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to keep my head on my shoulders, but you know me. I'm OCD. I get irritated by things easily. So, but as the show gets going, him and I are laughing at we're laughing at the exact same jokes at the exact same time. So I already feel like I have a vibe with this guy. I'm like, cool. Like this guy. So show's over, right? Everyone, everyone had a great time. And then we're supposed to sit.
Right.
And take out our little passes, right? So we take out our little passes and we're sitting there and the entire place empties out. It's a sticky, but I didn't stick it on me because I didn't want to. Right. I want to flex in front of the people I know, yeah. But I don't want to be that guy. You know what I'm saying? I didn't see anybody else with them on, so I didn't really feel the need. You know, it's not my first rodeo. Yeah. Do you know what I'm saying?
Of course.
It's like when you get a backstage pass to a concert or a festival. The first four or five times that happens, of course you have the backstage pass swinging like a dick. But by the 10th time you get a backstage pass, you hide it. Because now you know it's just extra reason for people to stare at you or ask you if they can get backstage also. Mm-hmm. It's not a flex. It's an irritation, right? So you only take it out if you need to take it out. So I didn't. So, you know, I just kind of kept it in. We kept it in the envelope. So everybody gets up, 15 minutes, the whole place is empty. But these people next to me are sitting also.
Okay.
Usher comes by.
Band tickets, too.
Yeah. Security guard comes by. He says, "Hey, guys, what's going on?" And we said, "Well, you know."
Oh, he didn't know why you were still sitting?
I had no idea why we were sitting there. And we're like the
show's over.
Yeah. There's like four other people up front standing by the stage. A couple of them were taking pictures with Mike. Fenoya. And then they left. And then there were like two or three other people that were sitting up front also standing there. So security guard comes over and says, "Hey, what's going on here?" And the people next to me all start taking out these same passes that we have.
Uh-huh.
And he says, "Well, we're supposed to stay here for the tour manager." And he's like, "Is everyone here together?" And I go, "We weren't, but we are now, right?" And they say, "Okay," so we're all laughing. Then the guy who was sitting next to me the whole time turns around, and I'm not going to say his name because, you know, I don't know if he chooses. I'm not going to talk about where he is publicly, but I recognize this guy is also a famous podcaster. A famous podcaster.
Really?
And he is with a famous comedian that's on the other end that I can't see. But now that the lights are on, I can see. So I'll share with you later. Okay. But okay. So I'm like, "Oh, okay. So here we are," right? So then he says, "You guys go to the merch table," right? And I don't think the security guard knows what he's talking about. What am I going to do?
He just wanted to get you out of the seats.
Yeah, he wanted to get us out of the seats. He has to go home, right? But what am I going to do, right? So we all get up. We go to the merch table. Out in the merch table is Chris, the guy who started... who opened up the show,
okay.
The MC. And he's holding a clipboard. And he's taking pictures with people and he's signing things and, you know, he's giving away T-shirts or whatever. And
yeah, he's the merch guy too?
No, there was another merch guy. No. He's standing outside the merch table.
Okay.
But I think I now start to understand what's going on here. And I go, "Hey, Chris, really good job tonight, you know?" And he goes, "Oh, thanks, man, thanks." And I have the pass in my hand. And so he's shaking my hand and he kind of puts his arm around me and he goes, "What? So you guys from Atlanta?" And I go, "Yeah." And he goes, "Do you have a pass in your hand?" And I go, "Yeah." He goes, "Oh, are you Brian Green from the commercial break?" And I go, "Yes, I am." And he goes, "Oh, yeah, man." He goes, "Sal really wants to meet you. So go sit back down in there." And I'm like, "I just got out of back there. I don't..."
Ask the security guard.
Yeah, we need communication here because... So now there's like 12 of us, right? We're doing this dance. So we all go back in. Security guard's like...
Right.
"You got to go to the merch table." And I go, "The tour manager just told us to go inside." And he goes, "Oh, he did?" And I go, "Yeah." And he goes like this. Like, you know, "I'm not going to get
these
to the bar
people,
by 10.
Yeah. Yep.
We all go back. We all go sit down. And then Chris divides us into groups and takes us back to meet Sal backstage. Sal could not have been nicer. He said the nicest thing. He gave me a hug. So if you listen to the Sal episode, you'll know something. He doesn't like to fly. He's a germaphobe and he's OCD. And that's real. That's not like pretend. It's real. He's not Howie Mandel level germaphobe, but he doesn't like to shake people's hands. It's not his favorite thing. So I go to give him Nux, right? Because I remembered.
Bump.
I go to give him a bump. Mm-hmm. He goes like this.
Oh.
And I'm like, ah.
He was going in for the hug.
Yeah. It's like when you go in for a kiss on a blind date, on a date, and she turns her cheek. That's what I did. He went in for the hug and I went, "Knuckles, don't touch me. You want to see a germaphobe? I'm a germaphobe." But then we give each other a hug. But he like gave me a hug. He like squeezed me, you know, patted my back. And he's like, "Man, I got to tell you, like I know this may sound like bullshit, but I'm being honest. When I came on, I had such a good time. I really enjoyed the conversation I had with you.
That's lovely.
I remembered it. I'm glad you got a chance to come by." So then we all talked chatty. He also remembered that my wife was from Venezuela.
Mm-hmm.
Can you believe that? He remembered that my wife was from Venezuela. He asked how everyone was doing because he remembered that. That is amazing. Now, either he took notes and, like, you know, goes back through the book or whatever. He has his tour manager. I don't know how that all goes down. But those are the things that
make a difference.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And he was such a fucking nice guy. Such a nice guy. And I was just grateful for the opportunity to go meet him. I was grateful that we got a chance to see him in his element.
So you're, I mean, the blind date got a chance to meet him too, right?
Blind date came, oh, yeah. Got pictures.
Okay.
Fucking flex.
Impressive.
A fucking flex.
not a bad first date.
Not a bad first date at all. Listen, and they are Impractical Jokers fans.
Mm.
And Sal told me, and I will tell
you. It's a win all around.
I will tell you, the audience out there, there will, in fact, be another season of Impractical Jokers.
Okay.
When he came on, they were negotiating, they were debating, they were thinking about it, and he told us
they're going for it.
Just the other day, they figured
people
out they signed the contract.
It.
Yeah, listen, Impractical Jokers, I think, is one of the more popular shows on television, period, end of sentence. It's like subtitled and put all around the world. This is it's a juggernaut show. It really is. And so, yeah. And three of the members, I think, are still, there were four of them, and now there's three of them, I think.
And
Joe Gatto left. Yeah, Joe Gatto left.
Oh, that's right. Joe Gatto.
Did you hear about that whole thing? Joe Gatto got accused.
Yeah.
I didn't talk about this. He was supposed to come on our show.
Mm-hmm.
2 days before he was supposed to come on our show, Chrissy sends me an article. And she's like, did you hear about this? And I was like, whoa. And then I went down a big rabbit hole, a deep, dark rabbit hole, about what seems like a disturbed young lady who made some pretty brash accusations against Joe Gatto. Now, if I think she has since said this did not happen, I was seeking some attention.
Yeah.
She apologized to Joe.
Accusation.
It was pretty serious accusation. Like, he came up to her hotel room and cornered her, and she was 18 at the time and all this other stuff. And Joe went on hiatus. We didn't have to cancel because his agent said, obviously, right now, we can't do interviews. And I'm glad that call was made because it's not that kind of show. We're not going to hash it out here. And but a couple of weeks later, she came out and said, didn't happen. Anyway, so Joe is back. Joe is doing comedy.
Oh, Joe's back. Well, he's back with the Impractical Jokers or no?
No, he's not back with the Impractical Jokers, but he's out there. He's doing things
again. His own thing, yeah.
Yeah, I see him on Instagram and whatever. And who knows? Maybe we'll catch up with him at some point. But anyway, but he left the show a while ago.
Yeah.
Before this all happened, he left the show. But he's out doing his own stand-up thing, too. But here's the connection that I want to make, and we'll talk about it. Mike Fenoya, he came out on stage to One More Saturday Night.
Yeah.
By the Grateful Dead. And the first thing that he said was, you know, I'm a Dead fan. I'm a huge Dead fan. And he's like, so, you know, there's that. I forgot how he positioned it, but it didn't sound off to me, but we didn't have our phones with us.
Okay.
So we did not know.
Yeah, because I had texted you.
You texted me, but my phone was off.
Right.
So I did not know that just 10 minutes earlier, it was announced that Bob Weir of the Grateful Dead, the guitarist of the Grateful Dead, had passed away after a rather short but unannounced battle with cancer.
Mm-hmm.
This seems to be kind of a trend in Hollywood, is that you don't know somebody's sick. And who cares? It's his personal business. He doesn't tell everybody, right? But it would appear that he died, according to an oncologist that I know, it appears that some of these things that have been said in the media, that he may have had lung cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And so apparently he had treatment, had just started treatment, but he passed away. And if I'm being honest, last two times I saw some like video of him, he didn't look super fantastic.
Well, I think it was the last show that he played with the Golden Gate, where they had their big 60th anniversary. Yeah, I think then he wasn't feeling totally up to
snuff.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't sound like it either, right? Mm-hmm. It sounded like he was struggling to get around the fretboard, but he was probably on medication and
I mean, the fact that any of them
it's amazing.
Lived past the 60s, 70s.
Yeah.
I mean,
I talked to a really super deadhead for at length on Sunday, and he explained that Bob was an alcoholic and drug addict long past when anybody should have been, right?
Mm-hmm.
That he dealt with it through the Fare Thee Well tours, and that he had friends that were at the hotel where Bob was staying, and that it appeared that Bob was imbibing and having a good time, as he should. God bless him, whatever. The guy took more acid than any human being should look at, let alone ingest, in like one sitting. they would take drops and drops and drops of acid and then go out and play. He was 16?
16.
When the electric Kool-Aid acid test started?
Mm-hmm. He started playing with Jerry, yeah. It's amazing.
Here's the story that blows my balls off every time I hear it. And it really my heart is with Bob. Well, can I share a story?
Of course.
I was a Pearl Jam, Alice in Chains, Soundgarden dude, hardcore, right? I loved that kind of music. And I liked hip hop too. I like, you know, like Third Bass and, you know, Snoop Dogg and all that other stuff. I was a child of the 90s. I was a product of MTV. I knew the one song from the Grateful Dead, like everybody knew, Touch of Grey. And I liked the video. But I was not.
That video is really funny.
It's weird. It's so weird.
It is. It's bizarre.
I was not a Grateful Dead fan by any stretch of the imagination. I didn't know anything about the Grateful Dead. And then I took like a 3-week long car ride with a hippie chick I fell in love with and her best friend, who was also a hippie chick. And we took a 3-week journey down to Florida, and we went on every shitty state road. We stopped at Psychics and Tallapoosa. We hit every beach from here to there. We, you know, drank margaritas and convinced people to sell us cigarettes and booze. And they had hundreds of tapes in a box. And we listened to nothing but the Grateful Dead. And I sat in the back of that car, in that old Oldsmobile. I sat in the back of that car, ingesting all the secondhand weed smoke, smoking, taking LSD, just a trip.
Yeah.
And those girls would talk to the Grateful Dead and about the Grateful Dead like they were best friends. Oh, Jerry, you're being so funny tonight. You know? Oh, Bob, you're such a rock and roller with your short hair and your short shorts.
Your short shorts.
Yeah, and your dick hanging out. Yeah. There you go, screaming again like a rock and roller, Bob. Oh, Phil, you know how to do it. You're the best of the best. You know, they were, Mickey, drums is great tonight. It was like we were at the concert when we were listening to these tapes, night after night, driving through Florida. We even went to Disney World and got locked out of our car and had to have security high on ecstasy.
I remember the story.
And I left that trip in love with the Grateful Dead, in love with those two hippie chicks, and in love with the Dead. And ever since, I think that they are the greatest American rock and roll band.
I mean, seriously. They're the genesis and the inspiration for so many other musicians that we love. Yeah.
Of course. And there is no other story greater than the Grateful Dead. There is no band that has lasted as long in so many different permeations and variations. Mm-hmm. It's all about the music. It always has been. You know, Jerry was obviously the heart and soul of the band, but it has continued.
It has.
And I was talking to this Deadhead. It will continue. Your version of the Grateful Dead, younger people, will not be my version of the Grateful Dead, will not be the people who grew up in the 60s and 70s version of the Grateful Dead. This is going to continue forever if they have their way, right? And John now carries the flag along with Mickey, if however long Mickey stays around.
Yeah, O'Teal.
Yeah, O'Teal, that's right. But Bob was certainly, if Jerry was the heart, then Bob was the soul of the Grateful Dead. Yeah, he was the rock and roll guy. He brought in the licks, and he kept it popping and young and fresh. The story that I love is that in one of the electric Kool-Aid acid tests, because he was 16 and still in school, after taking hundreds of micrograms of LSD and playing all night long to all of these what would be formative young people who would go on to do great things themselves, people like Steve Jobs. Well, I don't think Steve Jobs was there, but people like that in those early Haight-Ashbury days. He played all night. Terrible music. If you've ever listened to it, it's terrible. But they were learning. They were learning how to be the Grateful Dead, right? And that's the beautiful thing about them too. And then he had to catch the bus.
To go to school?
So he could go home, do his homework, so he could run to school.
Oh, my God.
It's a fucking amazing story.
I know. And what a life. What a life.
And the third time that it happened, the electric Kool-Aid acid test, and he had to go to school the next day, he went home, he looked at his homework, he couldn't see the numbers straight, and he said, you know what? I'm out. See you later. I'm going to go be in the Grateful Dead. And the one thing that I love about the Grateful Dead, and that I like about Bob, is that warts and all, The band was terrible when they started. I think you could objectively say the music was not that fantastic, but it got better over time.
Evolved and changed. Yeah.
And that's what's beautiful about the Grateful Dead, is they let you see warts and all. It changes, it breathes, it lives, it moves, it mutates. You know, I don't want to sound all hippy-dippy about it, but it's kind of hippy-dippy.
There's a great Netflix documentary, the other one, called The Other One, with Bob Weir. It came out maybe like 5-6 years ago. It's great.
Okay. It's about the Grateful Dead or about Bob?
Yeah, I sent you a link
to
it.
Okay, I'm going to watch it.
It's mostly about Bob, but I mean his involvement with the Grateful Dead. Yeah.
I want to get into it.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, okay, I'm going to grow my hair out and be hippie. It's at one of my daughter's schools today, and the kids kept asking why I didn't have any hair.
The kids asked that.
Little fuckers. Yeah, they do, because they have no filter. So anyway, all right, let's take a short break. And when we get back, we'll talk more shit. We'll be back. Oh, I actually got to do the commercials. Oh, okay.
Okay.
I need somebody to do this for me. Where's my Bob Weir?
Hey, it's Rachel, your new voice of God here on TCB. And just like you, I'm wondering just how much longer this podcast can continue. Let's all rejoice that another episode has made it to your ears, and I'll rejoice that my check is in the mail. Speaking of mail, get your free TCB sticker in the mail by going to tcbpodcast.com and visiting the Contact Us page. You can also find the entire commercial break library, audio and video, just in case you want to look at Chrissy, at tcbpodcast.com. Want your voice to be on an episode of the show? Leave us a message at 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. Tell us how much you love us, and we'll be sure to let the world know on a future episode. Or you could make fun of us. That'd be fine, too. We might not air that, but maybe. Oh, and if you're shy, that's okay. Just send a text. We'll respond. Now I'm going to go check the mailbox for payment while you check out our sponsors, and then we'll return to this episode of the commercial break.
I can't see it.
It's there.
No. God, we both got those coughs. It's just...
never ends.
I know.
Where is it?
I've had it for 6 months.
That's right.
Goes away, comes back.
Someone loves you, Chrissy, in the chat. Oh. And someone can hear Blue, because they're saying, tell Blue we said hi. Okay, all right. Settle down. That's the doggy, Snoop Doggy Doggy. Blue, the doggy doggy.
I love you too, by the way.
Yeah, I told my father-in-law. He has like a new guard dog in Venezuela.
Brian.
He's got like this, the dog, his name is Nala. And it's big, like, you know, press a canario kind of dog, right? It's huge. The thing is huge. And I said, does it eat squirrels and like, you know, snakes and stuff like that? And he goes, yeah, it probably would. And I said, good, you want to take it along with you? You give Blue a snack. But then, like Astrid was saying, Blue would probably scare off the dog, because that's how
Blue is. Yeah. She acts like she's huge.
She does not care. She has no – I learned something interesting about dogs. They have no size reference. Mm-hmm. So if they're aggressive, if they're the leader of the pack, if that's their personality, you know, and Blue has a chip on her shoulder for sure, then she's going to be the leader of the pack. Just going to be the way it is.
And then lay down your feet and put her belly up.
That's how she does it. She knows how to work the system around here. She's been working the system for a long time. But it's like that guy, one of the comedians said, it was Mike, and he said, you know, we're not going to have kids. And he's like, because I have a dog, and that's my child. And he goes, and I'm not going to ruin it for the dog by having kids, where the dog becomes a second-class citizen. And Astrid looked at me, and she goes, it's true. And I go, it is true. It is true that poor fucking Blue's life was fucked up the day we brought the first child home. Mm-hmm. It no longer was the queen of the house,
nope.
And that's just the way that it is. But she has always been good with the children.
Very good.
If she wasn't good with the children... I think my empathy would stop being so deep for her and my patience.
She's
for
very
all
good
barking.
With the kids.
That's right. The Golden Globes happened over the weekend.
Yes,
I watched a good chunk of it.
I did too. I watched the whole thing. Surprisingly, I don't normally tune into those shows, but it was on, and I thought, well, I'm going to watch it. And it kind of had me from the beginning. I like Nikki, the host.
She did a great job.
She did.
Second year, mm-hmm. I think she kind of sat in her seat a little bit more this time. She pulled out a few punches. Not a ton, but a few punches.
Mm-hmm. Enough.
Enough.
To be funny.
Enough. CBS News is where you get your BS news.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
And then Sean Penn being a leathered Italian bag.
He even laughed. He even thought it was funny. Sean
Which,
Penn.
Have you seen that? Have you seen that movie, One Battle After Another?
I have watched the first 15 minutes of
it. Oh, it's good. And Sean Penn, man, what a part he plays.
He's already creepy and weird. And I'm like, wow, this is weird. Because, you know, in some parts he has like no teeth and another. Anyway, I'll let you know when I watch it. But the Golden Globes, I thought, was generally entertaining. I am not all about the two podcasters in the background talking when people go up for the. I don't know what the fuck that's all about.
I tuned that out. I was kind of like, what do they say?
Can we not do that?
Yeah, I caught like a couple things they said, but otherwise I tuned it out.
Yeah, CBS, can we not do that? And then the one thing that really bothered me is that that fucking FanDuel or whatever, that Kalshi, that they're putting the odds down at the bottom so that people can gamble during the fucking Golden Globes.
People are gambling on everything.
They're gambling on everything, but it's going to be a big fucking problem in this country. It already is. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you right now, I'm not against the gambling companies doing what they're doing, but they are multi-billion dollar companies pushing their product like cigarettes back in the day, and we must be careful about this and putting it on the fucking Golden Globes is, first of all, one big sellout. Second of all, what the fuck? If people want to gamble, they can figure out how to get to the website and see the odds. You don't need to put it up on the bottom of the screen.
Yeah,
that was
weird too.
That was weird. But otherwise,
they did have the first time the podcasts. I mean, we were almost there.
Almost there.
We
had been called
right
about it, and my dad, he said, "Did you hear they're doing a podcast category on the Golden Globes?" And I said, "No." And he said, "Well, you'll never get it. Just wanted to share that with you. Bye." Yes, and it went to office. I went to
Amy Poehler.
Amy Poehler, whose podcast I like.
It's funny. I mean, she's great. I love her.
She's fantastic.
Love Amy
she got a great personality. It's not my favorite podcast in the world, but she does great. Mm-hmm. It's light. It's fluffy. If you want light but long interviews with your favorite celebrities, she's there doing that, and that's her lane. And she does a great job at it. So
she does.
And then, of course, The Pitt walks away with a bunch of awards, as they did with the Critics' Choice Awards. And I agree with every bit of this. All the accolades that they are getting is well-deserved.
I agree. I know I'm having to temper myself in watching the new season because, you know, it started last week.
Yep.
I was like, Jeff, let's just hold off. Let's hold.
Me too.
Because, I mean, I like to watch them.
Me too. I'm going to wait till week four.
I was thinking the same thing. Let three of them come out, four of them come out.
I'll go four, four, and four. I think there's 16 episodes. There was 13 last year. I think there's 16 this year, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know if I'm mistaken. But season three, already, they're already working on season number three. So
it's huge, and for good reason.
And because I get the New York Times, the newspaper, after my Starbucks boyfriend told me I should get the Starbucks, you know, a paper delivered to the house. They had a big inlay where it was all about a writer spent a couple weeks on the set for season number two.
Okay.
Seeing if they could recreate the magic of season number one. Every review that I have read says they did it. They nailed it. People who have had a chance to look at the first five episodes says they did it. They nailed it. So great. Keep that show going as long as it is. Let me share this. The blind date boyfriend?
Yes.
He.
Jose.
Jose. It's not Jose, but it could be Jose. He is also works in the medical profession. Mm-hmm. So I asked him, is this an accurate depiction? Because we talked about the show. Is this an accurate? He said every bit of
everybody that I hear that is in medical.
He's like down to the way that they talk, they walk, the way that they. He's like, everything is so accurate except for one thing. And he goes, and it is absolutely reasonable to expect the television show would do this. The PPE that they wear is non-existent. He's like, but if there's blood splattering everywhere and body fluids everywhere, he's like, people have like six layers of stuff on.
Right.
He's like, it's not like they're in there without a face mask and a big glass, plexiglass thing. He's like, but then that wouldn't be a TV show.
Yeah.
You'd just be staring at people's eyebrows.
Right.
Yeah. Right. I was like, yeah, that makes sense.
Totally.
All right. So
I'm excited to see it, but I'm holding myself back.
Me too. I'm going to do that, and then we can talk about it on the show in a couple of weeks. We'll catch you up on the first couple episodes. But then also the young boy one for
Adolescence. I need to see that.
I can't get through it. I can't.
You know, that's the thing. I wanted to watch it, but when I figured out exactly what it was about, I was like, I don't know.
Yeah. It's too difficult as a parent to watch a child who obviously is a very good actor do a great job. And the parents, I there are some television shows as a parent that I just find mm-hmm. it hits way too close to home. Not that my child would ever kill anybody, but it, what happens if, I don't even know what happens on the show because right. I couldn't get through it.
Yeah, me either.
I watched like the first episode and I was like, oh, no.
Yeah, it gets, no. It's gotten a lot of awards.
Yeah.
But yeah, I haven't delved into it.
No. And then who won, what was the, who won for Best Picture?
God.
I can't remember now.
Yeah,
I watched it and I can't remember. Golden Globes 2026.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
Oh, the winners. Here they are.
Okay, give it to us.
Hamnet.
Oh, that one.
That one for Best Picture.
I didn't even really know what that was.
That was for drama. One Battle After Another for musical or comedy.
Okay.
I didn't really think of that as a comedy, but all right.
It's got funny parts.
It certainly does. Even in the first 15, 20 minutes, it does. Animated, of course, K-pop, Demon Hunter.
Yes, I knew they were going to win.
Non-English language, The Secret Agent. I have no idea what that's about, mm-hmm. so I'm not going to talk about it. Hamnet won for Best Actress in a Drama. Wagner Mourna won for Best Male Actor for The Secret Agent. Okay, cool. Rose Byrne. If I had legs,
her.
I'd kick you.
I want to see that.
Some of Timothy Chalamet.
Shalalalala.
There's our boy. Look at him.
Uh-huh.
Tiana Taylor for One Battle After Another.
She was fantastic.
Stellan Skarsgård, one for Sentimental Value. Mm. Paul Thomas Anderson, one for Best Director. Paul Thomas Anderson, one for Best Screenplay. Sinners, one. Golden, the
Sinners
song one.
Sinners was really good, too.
I didn't watch Sinners yet.
Oh, it's good. You got to watch it.
Okay, I'll watch it. For sure, I'll watch it. What was the show that I watched that I wanted to talk to you about? Now I can't remember it. Hacks won, Jean Smart won for...
Oh, I love her. That's a great show,
Hacks,
too.
It is. Noah Wiley won, of course. Rhea Seahorn won for Pluribus. I am not into it.
Really?
I'm sorry. I love Rhea, but I'm not into it. I'm just not into it.
Have you watched the whole thing?
No. No, I've watched like three episodes, and I'm just not into it.
Okay.
I think I was expecting something more Breaking Bad-ish.
Yeah.
And I got something more, like,
I mean, it's
darkly funny.
It's totally different.
It's totally different. And listen, if I'm Vince Gilligan, I'm probably saying to myself also, I don't want to do another Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Like, I did that for 10 years of my life. I'm good doing something else. And good for him.
And he did the X-Files, too, which I tend to forget about.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
He did do the X-Files. I wasn't into the X-Files either.
Oh, you weren't.
Nah,
I loved that.
Not for me. Not for me. But yeah, listen, the Golden Globes was an entertaining...
I thought it was, too.
...entertainment show.
And it seems intimate, too, with the tables, you know, and they've got the Moët champagne and...
I read an article that said, let the actors get drunk again.
Yeah.
Right? Let it be kind of a shit show again. And I'm with that. But it also popped along. And no one stood up there for 6 hours giving some silly, you know, speech and all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. And some people alluded to what, you know, political this or, you know, we support that or we don't support this. And I can appreciate that. But they kept it mainly on point. So I liked that. Listen, the Golden Globes is an entertaining show when done correctly. As award show.
I kind of like the mix of the TV and movies.
I do.
You know?
I do. I'm all about that. I like the TV and movies because that fucking Oscars, that can really get like lengthy and
it
weird
can.
And boring.
So
and you're like, oh my
too.
God.
Yeah.
And like the Grammys, I wish the Grammys were interesting, but to me, they're just not.
I know.
They're just not. It should be the most entertaining show
it used to
in
be
award
to me.
Season. Me too.
When I was younger.
It was a must watch.
Yes.
The MTV Music Awards, mm-hmm. the Grammys. Those two had to be watched every year as a teenager, as a 20-something. And then it just got shitty and boring. And it always looks the same. It's always, you know, dark stage, you know, fucking LL Cool J's hosted 30 years in a row. And nothing against LL
no,
Cool J.
I love him.
But can we move on from LL Cool J? We get it. He's slick. He's cool. He's still in good shape at 72 years old. But can we get on with it? Can we get on with it?
Yeah.
Please. And then the MTV Music Awards. They don't even
play
music
anymore.
Yeah, they're around, but no one cares. The Video Music Awards, yeah, they're still there.
And then I guess the other one is what, Emmys?
The Emmys, the Grammys, yeah.
That's just TV.
And of course, my favorite, the Tonys.
The Tonys.
You know, we all tune into the Tonys. The Tonys. I mean, listen, there is, of course, there's a section of people who the Tonys. There's a large portion of the population loves Broadway, and they appreciate that. But as a guy who lives in Atlanta, Georgia, I just don't see that many Broadway shows.
Right.
And I don't even know if I lived on Broadway, if I'd see that many Broadway shows.
Yeah.
I like them when they're done correctly. Yeah, I was talking to someone the other day. You know what I want to see? It apparently over in the UK, in London, they are doing the craziest Broadway shows.
Oh,
and people
nice.
Are loving them.
West End.
Yes. Someone saw Shrek the musical. They said it was fantastic. Okay. Someone saw, what was it that they said they saw? So they did Shrek the musical. They said they loved it. Some guy started following me. He is the voice of Paddington Bear in Paddington the musical.
So I love Paddington.
I thought it was a joke. I'm like, because it's like, it's someone in a bear costume, like a little bear costume, and then someone singing from backstage. That's the guy who was following me, the guy who's like singing, his voice is singing.
Wow.
And I thought this was a joke when I saw the first reel come up on my thing. I was like, well, they don't really have a Paddington Bear musical, do they? They do. And then I started watching clips of it, and I'm like, it's like winning all these awards. And I go, oh, okay, yep, that I get it. Back to the Future.
Oh,
they did a Back to the Future Broadway in London, the multi-million dollar musicals with like effects and fire and the car goes flying through the theater and all this stuff. And I'm like, fuck.
That sounds fun.
If that came to, you know, the art center that down the street from where I lived, I'd go see that. And then maybe I'd tune into the Tonys. But there's just some stuff about the Tonys that it's over my head.
Yeah, I just don't keep up with it enough. Right.
I don't think I'm classy enough to watch the Tonys. That's really what it is. I have an outsider's perspective.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, I have a little bit of imposter syndrome when it comes to the Tonys. I don't know what I'm watching. I don't know who's watching me. Who's that? Why am I? But, you know, that lady wins every time. What's her name? Who's the lady who wins every time?
Oh, Bernadette Peters?
Yeah, Bernadette Peters. That's right.
She's been around for so long. She's great.
So congratulations to all the Golden Globe winners. You know, they're all watching us, for sure.
Oh,
we just had an Emmy Award winner on this show.
That is correct.
A week ago, Jeff Hiller. You'll hear that episode later on this week. Jeff Hiller, and he was great, and he was telling some stories about, he was on Pluribus too, wasn't he?
He was. He was on just a small part in one episode.
Yeah, but he said it was like a huge production.
Yeah.
He's like, oh my God, they got money.
Well, Vince,
money. Yeah, you, two people in the bit, now three people in the business you're giving money to. Noah Wiley and his creative team over there, John Wells and all those other people. Vince and whatever he's doing. And then that other one who's doing all the, you know, the murder shows, OJ and.
Oh, Ryan Murphy.
Ryan Murphy. You're giving piles of cash to those three.
Yeah.
Because they have guaranteed successful shows. Even their shitty shows are pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Like that show about the killer, you know, the guy who was chopping up people and
Ed Gein.
Ed Gein.
Yeah.
Even
I couldn't
the Ed Gein
through all of that.
Oh, it's dark.
Yeah.
It's really dark.
I started it and I was like,
And now having seen the real Ed Gein on a couple of documentaries, I have to tell you, I don't know why he put that weird affectation on his voice. The actor made a choice to put a very weird childlike affectation on his voice, and it sounds nothing like Ed Gein. Ed Gein did not sound like that.
Hmm.
But, you know, creative liberties, I guess, and all that jazz, you know, it makes it interesting at least. But now I'm bothered by it. I'm like, why did he do that? Is he a mass murderer? Maybe. That might be the answer. All right. Also, UGA lost, and we're all sad. And I can't believe UGA lost. It was a good game, though.
So did Ole Miss.
Well, yes, Ole Miss lost. So now we have who? Miami and Indiana.
Hmm.
You know? Northern, Southern, there you go.
Okay.
What are we going to do? I don't know. I'll watch the game, I guess. Are you going to watch the game?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, why not? You know. Listen, if it's not going to be my team, let it be some other team. I guess I'll root for Indiana. I mean, I should root for Miami because I have a lot of family that lives down there.
Mm.
But I think I'll root for Indiana because, you know,
I also have family
up there. Yeah.
That's right.
Is it going to be the Irish family or the Venezuelan family that I root for?
Head to head.
Yeah.
It's a matchup.
Since I'm talking so much about Venezuela all over the place, maybe I'll root for the...
Yeah.
I'll go for Chicago. I'll go for the Irish one time. One time. And then I'll be back to talking about Venezuela. Thanks to everybody who has been calling and texting in, saying kind words about my wife and her family. Everyone's okay. Everyone's good. Everyone's cool. Don't worry about it. We're all good. And things are stable down there that we're hearing.
That's good.
You know, there's drama in pockets, but everything's stable. And President Trump will meet with Maria Machado, the Nobel Peace Prize winner, on Thursday.
I saw that.
Everyone will be looking forward to the outcome of that meeting. For sure.
That'll be interesting.
Love you too. People saying goodbye. Yes. Bye. Love you too.
Love
you don't want to hear the end of it?
Best to you.
You don't want to hear the end of it? That's the best part when we say goodbye. Actually, I can tell by the statistics that people tune out the second that music starts. Yeah, they're like, see ya. Not interested in that. It's okay. I probably would do the same thing. I understand.
Yeah.
But I got to end the show somehow. I can't end the show before the music. That doesn't make any sense.
We have to have the music.
Yeah, what if I just stop the show? Just cut it at some point. Middle of Chrissy's sentence. Bye.
Bye.
So anyway, everyone's okay down in Venezuela that we hear. And thank you very much for that. Okay, she's here. She's still here. She's staying. Thank you.
I'm here.
I want to do this for my health. Check us out. You can now check us out on Instagram, YouTube, and Kick and Twitch. All those places we stream Tuesday and Thursday.
Kicking
and twitching. The commercial break, TCB is kicking and twitching every Tuesday, every Thursday. And you can check us out on YouTube at The Commercial Break. You can actually at something. So go do that on YouTube. Find us on Instagram at The Commercial Break, TikTok, TCB Podcast. And you can find us everywhere else you're streaming. We're streaming in a million places, so go find us. You can chat with us like some people are doing. And then soon, settle down soon. We'll bring you in like a FaceTime phone call soon. We're adding layers as we go along. Okay.
We're testing. Yeah. Baby steps.
Baby steps. Okay. NTCBpodcast.com. Go get your free sticker. Okay, Chrissy. I guess that's all I can do for today.
I think so.
But you know what? I'm going to say I love you.
I love you too.
I'm going to say best to you.
Best to you.
Best to you out there in the podcast and streaming audience. Until the next time we meet, which will be Thursday. I will say. I do say, and we must say.
Goodbye.